Right, thanks for downloading the show. This is Larry here of Xbox Live's Major Nelson, and this is show number 258. This is for Sunday, December 2nd. My name's Larry Herb, as I just said, and I'm here with E.
Yes.
Who has no last name or no first name. It's just E.
I'm just a vowel.
Did I tell you about the message I got over live this week?
Okay, that's a little vague. You've probably told me about a couple dozen of them.
I think you got one similar to this. Hey, Major, what's your gamer tag?
I have not gotten any of those recently.
I got that one last week.
I've gotten that one before.
So we got we've got a pretty chock full show this week. We've got I've got three interviews. I talked to you about them. I'm going to talk to Donald Mustard, who's the head of Chair Entertainment Group. They brought us Undertow last week.
Colonel Mustard?
No, Donald.
Donald.
Like, he hasn't heard that before.
It's the first time I've heard the name.
Okay.
But
I'm also going to talk to Sean Stone and Andrew Bell. They were producers on Lego Star Wars.
Ooh.
And then I'll wrap it up with Mark Little, who's the producer on Need for Speed.
Cool.
So we got three interviews this week, but what we're going to jump right into and start talking about is the news that the internet's talking about is on Friday we released the, I guess it would be the final list of updates, which for the fall update, which is going to be hitting next week. Correct, E?
It is December 4th at 0200 Pacific is when it will start going out. If you don't get it immediately, don't panic. It may take a couple hours.
Right.
Within, you know, 4 or 5 hours after that, everyone will have it offered to them.
And you guys push, so your team is responsible for pushing the bits out, as they say, right?
That's correct. There's actually two ways you're going to get the update.
How?
On December 4th, when you log into Live, if your console has not already been updated, you'll be offered the update. And eventually it'll be on discs, so when you go buy a new game and drop it into a console that hasn't been updated yet, it'll get updated that way.
That's the way it always works.
Yep.
Now, there's actually, I put a link to on my blog posts on Friday, there's a really good list that the Xbox team now, everyone says, well, Major, you work on the Xbox team. Yes, I do.
There are many Xbox
teams. There's many
teams.
Xbox teams, but Daryl and the guys that actually worked and tested this firmware, I think is what we call it, right?
It's the dashboard.
The dashboard. They posted the really very developer centric dry list of what's going on.
Yes.
And they put an interesting factoid in there. Did you read this about how big the flash is?
Let's talk about
that right now.
So I'm looking at it. So I'll give the quote.
Yeah.
Because I mean we've known this and it's impressive, but I don't know that we've ever
publicly talked about
this to end users as opposed to talking to game developers.
Right.
About it. So, quoting from the webpage. Did you know our system update package is only 7 megabytes in size, or that the entire 360 operating system resides on a 16-meg file system, and when running, it only takes 32 megs of system memory?
There's a lot of numbers.
A lot of numbers.
Uh-huh.
The important thing is it's really small.
Tiny.
We do a lot with very little, and the reason why that matters is that means there's more resources left over for games.
For great games.
Yeah, because the operating system has to run in the background.
Right.
So if we took up too much memory, if we took up too much CPU, then game developers would have less to do things with, and games would not be as good as they are.
Right. So it's just interesting to point out how small it is. And it downloads lickety-split, usually, if you've got a good connection.
Yeah, that's the advantage of the update package being only 7 megs.
Right. So what we want to do now, E, is why don't you kind of go through some of what you consider to be the highlights. And again, I'll post a link off to the complete list, which I posted on Friday. But some of the ones that a lot of people are really interested in, why don't you go through some of those?
So Daryl's got them broken down here by category. Do we want to hit the highlights?
Why don't you hit some of the categories and some of the interesting ones. We'll read it together.
Okay. Account management. So there's a couple of dozen bullets in here. And I wish we'd actually had time to. I'm not sure I've read the entire list.
I think you have.
But have I? I mean, we've added so much stuff in here. Probably the best one in account management is added support. Well, there's two of them. Added support for user graduation.
Oh, that is technical developer term for if you're under 18 and you signed up for an Xbox Live account with your Windows Live ID, and now you're over 18, we didn't, up until this point, see you as an adult, and now you're able to do that.
Right, which meant there were some features like Messenger or things like that there were things you couldn't do because you were a child account, even though you weren't technically a child anymore.
Right.
You can now promote yourself to an adult.
Mm-hmm.
There's a quick process you run through on the dashboard. You will only see that option if you're eligible for it.
If you have an adult account already, don't go, gee, I wonder what this looks like. Where is it?
Yeah.
E major, it's not there, because you will not see it.
You will not see it.
Because our system knows, quote-unquote, how old you are.
Right.
assuming you entered all the right data.
Yes.
And then we show it to you or not show it to you.
And you've got screenshots of that you posted.
Yeah, right? I put them up on Flickr of okay. what that looks like. And it's really straightforward, and it takes 10 seconds. But it's important to point out that if you were a child account and your parents had a credit card, that you are going to need a credit card to replace that with.
Right.
So, and if you don't have a credit card, you can use one of the prepaid, Visa kind of cards.
That's cool.
So that's something interesting to point out. Keep going, E.
So the second one, and I think the other of the two, personal opinion, really big features in this update, is added support to allow users to change the Windows Live ID they use with their Xbox Live gamer tag.
Right.
So this is, hey, I used this old, Hotmail or whatever address. I don't use that email address anymore. I've got a different one. I want to associate that to my gamer tag. You can now do that.
Yep. So those are two of the big ones. And I actually called those out because the PR team put a press release or a press alert. I don't know what they call it. They put that out on Friday that I put a link to. And then when I realized, I'm like, you know what? I want to talk about these two specifically because they weren't included in there because, a lot of people generally, the mass market doesn't understand those. That's why I called them out separately. So keep going, E.
Okay, let me jump back because I was about to go over to find Elle's article. I think that's it in account management.
Yeah, if you look at the list, there's probably 24 bullets in here.
There's no way we're going to read through all of these. Community.
Yep.
So there's a whole bunch of new stuff, and this you almost need to see it to really understand it. But we've added a whole bunch more depth about people on your friends list.
Yeah, the first thing that a lot of people want to know is that when you see your friends list, on Daryl's list, on this list, it says added the double high friends list to show more detail.
Right.
You know what that is, and I know what it is.
Right. And if you haven't seen it, you're like, huh?
Well, yeah, but once you see it, it'll make sense.
Yeah.
Should I put a picture up of this on the...
Yeah, you might as well.
All right. So basically what it means is that as you're going down in each of the gamer tags on your list has focus. When it's selected, it actually expands. So you see the gamer tag and I think their motto right below it.
It shows you the motto as you're flipping through them.
Right.
Now, there's a couple of what I think are pretty cool ones buried in there. Added support to show friends a real name. So if you want to, you can put into your expanded profile your real name. So when people look at you on their friends list and they can't remember who is that gamer tag, if you want to, you can give them the ability to see your actual name.
I have it on here right now. I have a preview on my Xbox, and I'm going to. So I can go through here, and I can see when I pull up my friends list, I can go down, and as I said, we talked about the double high thing, or I can see what they're putting below it. But then I can go into somebody, and the way you get to that is on the profile page, there's a separate tab on the top called Personal Profile. And from here is where you access the View Bio and the View Friends piece.
So I know that's one that a lot of people have requested.
I also want to point out that the View Bio and where you're from and those things, when you go into that, it will actually pull in data from your Windows Live ID and autofill it.
Right.
But then if you don't want it, you can go back and change it.
And you can put in a brief bio about yourself, location. What else can you put in there? You can put in like a URL?
Well, you can type it in,
RSS
yeah.
feed.
But it's not. Just type it in.
Right.
Also, the thing I want to point out is there is not a way to do this on Xbox.com. This will only be available in the console right now.
Right. Okay. So
he's
that's
working his way down the list.
Dashboards.
Yes.
Tons of stuff in dashboard.
Okay.
This is, I think, probably the...
Wait a minute. You miss friends of friends.
Oh, that's right. So we kind of talked about that last time, I think.
Right.
But there is friends of friends support in this update, meaning on December 4th when it goes live. Based on the privacy settings of your friends, you may have the ability to go in and see who's on their friends list.
Right.
So you and I are on each other's friends list. I'll be able to look at your friends list as long as it's set to everyone or friends only.
Right.
And see who you're friends with and maybe connect with some people that way whose gamer tags I didn't have.
I'm going to have to take that gamer tag off. So here's what I think is going to happen with this feature. My friends list is always full, and I've always have three or four people that want to be my friend that don't really send me any context. If you don't send a message, I'm not going to add you. But
let me jump on that right now.
Yes?
Yeah. If you send me a friends request and there is no message on it, unless I know you and I'm waiting for a friends request from you, it's an auto-delete.
Yeah.
If you don't, I get just like you and a lot of other people, tons of friends request, tell me why I want to be your friend.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not guaranteeing that if you tell me why, I will accept it. But if you don't tell me why, I'm definitely going to decline.
So the friends of friends list, there's a couple things going on here that I want to point out. Is I'm actually interested to see how people are going to manage my friends list. Because people are going to look at my friends list and go, hey, that person hasn't signed on in 3 days. Why don't you take them off and add me?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that. But seriously, the feature is interesting. And Tycho from Penny and Arcade and I were talking about this last week, and he made a post on this. This is actually an easy way to kind of double your friends list.
Yes.
Explain how that would work.
So you could think of it as a poor person's clan list almost.
Okay.
So create a silver account.
So there's E as the gamer tag, and suppose you create
I create an
E's clan.
E's clan.
Okay.
And everyone who wants to be in the clan
becomes
a friend of E's clan.
And it could be a silver account, which is free.
Right. And then we all have the ability, everyone who's in the clan, to see who else is on the friends list.
Right.
So anytime we want to, we can go pull up E's clan, pull up E's clan friends list, and see what's going on.
Right.
So it's a nice way to stay in touch with people that you may not have room for on your
friends list. If you're online with E, and you're like, gee, I wonder how many people are on E, you know, are in the clan or on, you go down to E's clan, and you look through that gamer tag onto the list of the other one, and voila, there you go.
Yes.
So that's an interesting kind of a fun way to look at how you can use that feature that a lot of people didn't like.
And I haven't created E's clan. Maybe I should
probably
before this airs. Yeah. So in the dashboard, I think the one that's going to be, you know, the most appreciated is system update message in Russian properly formatted. Wait, no, that's not it. I think the one people are going to like the most is the fact that once you get this update, when you go play a trial arcade game,
right,
that game will no longer show up on your played games.
On your recently played list.
Which has been a request that we've gotten from a number of people.
Now, as East is speaking here, I am going to grammatically put a big asterisk next to his sentence. And E, why don't you explain why there's an asterisk next to your sentence?
So this is going forward on consoles that have the December system update. We are not going to go back in time and scrub your history and remove every trial you've ever played.
Right.
But from this point forward, once you have the December update, we will no longer put trial games on your played games list.
Good. All right, what else we got here? Look, I'm looking at the dashboard list with you. There's a huge list here.
I think, well, personally, the ones that I love are all the ones about improved performance. It's much snappier.
You know, that's something a lot of people haven't really talked about in any of the coverage I've seen, or at least that I've seen, is that, you know, the guide comes out quicker, things just move quicker.
I think somewhere in here, and I don't remember where, there is a bullet about speed, but it's easy to miss. It feels a lot snappier.
If you go, I'm actually looking at the Media Blade. If you go down to, like, videos and click in on that, and you choose your console, which by the way, you don't really have to do anymore. It will actually go into your console by default. There's an option now to change the video source. Because if you remember, whenever you go into music, pictures, or whatnot, it would ask you your console, the current disc, the portable device, or any computers it sees on your network.
Right.
Once you select a source, it will default to that source all the time. Now, when you go into the UI, the user interface, for instance, I bought a bunch of Bugs Bunny, the Warner Brothers cartoons.
Those are good.
So now there's a folder called Bugs Bunny, and I look at the folder, and now I can see all of my seasons under there, and it's actually going to be sorted by season, and I can use the UI to kind of sort it that way.
Yeah, and that's a very cool feature.
So for those of you that have a lot of media, that you're managing a lot of media, we're making that a little bit easier for you. What else you got? You want to talk about videos on devices?
Is that in this section? Or that's later?
Oh, that's later. Okay. Well,
I think that's later.
All right.
I'm going to skip some of these. The family play timer is in now.
Yeah, which we've been talking about. We launched that last month with Robbie down in Washington.
Right. A real simple summary. Hey, you want to let your kids play. You want to make sure they can only play 2 hours a day to make sure they get their homework and things done. Boom. We now support the ability for you to do that.
Yeah.
Bunch of new HDMI changes for the gadget freaks among us and people with, you know, maybe bleeding edge HDMI TVs or receivers.
Maybe ones that for no reason have Bluetooth. That's you.
It works fine with my TV prior to this update. Okay. But for some people are going to get a better experience with that now.
Okay.
A whole bunch of keyboard changes, tons of new marketplace stuff. Probably the
keyboard
the,
change. I didn't even notice the keyboard changes. Wow.
Yeah, the big thing I think is the there's some new. Well, for me again, there's some chat pad changes that I think are specific around Messenger and such.
Yep. Messenger is actually we talked about accounts right when we started going into this. You know, right. Migration accounts, child accounts. There's an actually third bullet point there, which is. We're letting people under 18 use Messenger.
That's right. If you're in the 13 to 18 range, I believe it is, you can now use Messenger, which you couldn't do before.
Correct.
So Marketplace. Tons of new things in Marketplace. The one I want to call out is added support for renting movies in several international countries. We don't have any announcement to make on that front, but I'd like to take this opportunity to remind people that when you think of things I want to do with Xbox Live, it's kind of a two-part thing. There is the Xbox 360 console, which has software on it that would need to support whatever we'd want to do. And then there's the Xbox Live service, which would also need to support whatever we want.
So all of the clients meeting the console and then connecting to the service, what E runs.
All the servers in the sky that
all
we
the
manage.
Servers that, that E has.
So there's a lot of people, you know, posting, hey, what about this feature? What about that? What about the... Well, that's a hint right there. I think our customers are smart enough to, you know, figure out where that's going.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll continue down this list. I mean, really, it's we're just pulling up the high stuff. Everyone's got their own pet features that they like.
Yes, and, you know, whichever one is most important to you is, you know, that's the one that you personally care about. Xbox Originals support in Marketplace.
Yeah.
I think we announced the list of games that are going to be there on December 4th.
Yes, we did.
And I don't know if you have that handy. There were six?
I think there are six. Let's take a look.
So.
Eight.
Are all eight of those in the announcement?
I believe they are. Let's find out.
The caveat here, people, is that we're looking at a preview, which isn't necessarily 99, you know, it's 99.9% the same as what you will have on December 4th.
So we've got Crash Bandicoot,
okay,
Wrath of Cortex, Crimson Skies, High Road to Revenge. Everyone's asking for that.
Yes.
Halo, of course, the original Halo. Fable,
yep.
Fusion Frenzy, and Psychonauts. So those are the ones that were announced.
That's a pretty solid list.
And I'm sure they're going to be adding more. You know, I don't know what the frequency is. Who knows?
I don't think we're supposed to talk about that. But it.
We just did.
Yeah. Oops.
All right. What do we got else we got here?
I'm going to skip through all the rest of the Marketplace stuff, but there's tons of them. A whole bunch of media stuff around, you know, metadata, album art, those kind of things. And then there's a bunch of independent media sections. There's one for music. There's one for pictures.
People want fast forward in their music.
Did we add that?
I don't see that.
We added so much stuff. I'd have to go through here and, you know,
yeah, I don't see it in here.
This whole list on air, which would be kind of boring.
Right.
We've got improved device support.
Oh, wait a minute.
Didn't
we have the touch in here?
The improved device support for new iPods, Classic and 3rd Gen Nano.
There you go.
There is a caveat down. Actually, it's not even on this list.
Okay.
Let's come back to that.
That's right. iPhone and iPod Touch are not supported at this time.
Right.
So.
So Media Player picks. We can now support stream PNGs and better performance when the PC has thousands of pictures and subdirectories. I'm very happy to see that one myself. And then media video. This is, without a doubt, the single largest section here. There are, I'm going to guess, 40 to 50 bullets in this section. Added support for new fast forwards and rewinds. Added support for using the left trigger and left shoulder to rewind and skip backwards. I've actually gotten a couple IMs already saying thank you for the additional shuttle controls.
Shuttle controls, that's the term they
And that's old school from the old shuttle dials.
Dude, I know that.
Yeah. But the biggest thing is that there is a whole bunch of new support for new codecs.
What kind of codecs, E?
Well, the Xbox team thankfully put together an FAQ, and you're going to need to link this, that's specific to video support. It's the December 2000 video playback FAQ. And I'm not going to read the whole thing in detail, but there's AVI support. There's H.264 support. There's WMV support. And then there is a extended MPEG-4 Part 2 support.
So that means DivX. Kind of DivX.
I didn't say DivX.
I didn't say DivX. Well, people know it is. People may know some flavor of this as DivX.
So people know. People have been asking, I want DivX. I want Xvid. I want this. I want that. People will find that the majority, I think, of things that they think of as DivX will play.
Right.
The catch is that there are so many flavors of DivX. And this isn't just a DivX thing, but with any video codec. You've gone through this with trying to do
right.
you know, HD to SD to right. portable devices.
I'm in here pulling my hair out.
There are so many different ways that you can encode something that it's really easy to, even though you're technically in spec, encode it in such a way that a lot of decoders are going to have trouble playing it back.
They choke on it.
So we've gotten great detail here. For instance, if you're doing MPEG-4 Part 2, we support simple and advanced simple profile with the following, you know, video bitrate and the following audio profile, blah, blah, blah. There's tons of detail here in the FAQ for people who are interested. But we have greatly expanded codec support. I think it's going to make people really, really happy.
Cool.
So.
What, you want to keep going down the list here?
I am jumping back to the other list right
now. So I want to get to the cool one.
The cool one? I have no idea which one you're talking about, but okay.
This one.
You wouldn't be saying that's the cool one because it's yours.
Well, it's not mine. I don't own that one, but it's...
So let's just... We'll stop. I'm going to put the list away. Okay. We're going to feed Major's ego.
No,
and talk
this
about
is,
inside
this is
Xbox.
This is something that is very visible. People are going to know for a moment that instantly their friends and their messages have collapsed into one line.
So back up a little bit. So the main page, the Xbox Live blade,
the
on the dashboard,
one.
It's got your gamer card up above, and it used to have, you know, friends, messages.
Chat and IM.
The tabs have changed a little bit. The top one is inside Xbox. Friends and messages are now on one below
you
that.
You still have account.
Yep. And below that is chat and IM.
So there you go.
So, Major, what is Inside Xbox?
So, Inside Xbox is a – it's not just marketplace stuff. This is content that's being produced by the Xbox.com team. And you're going to see different panels in here, and they're going to update it pretty much in the U.S. I don't know what the international plans are. But we're going to be updating at least once a day, Monday through Friday, maybe over the weekends too. But you're going to have links to – we can link off to like downloads, basically anything that's on the Xbox. We can, you know, in terms of in the marketplace, we can even play videos here.
Ooh.
So that what I'm saying is, well, think of when you know when I travel all the time and I'm out on the road traveling to, you know, to like maybe CES. We can actually in addition to putting videos up on Xbox.com, we can stream them right to your console, and they are streaming. So that's kind of cool. So keep an eye on Inside Xbox. It's not just me. Trixie will be in here. We'll have Denny's going to be in here, works on games editor for Xbox.com. Susie Q, who works on all the video marketplace content, she'll be in here. So we'll have all sorts of stuff. In addition, we'll be teaming up with the guys over at like, the Gamerscore blog when they're doing cool stuff. We'll go over and cover what they're doing for video. So this is not just video. It's video. Trixie will get her – you know, she loves her text. She loves her words, so she'll have words in here, but she can't have that many. So that's Inside Xbox. We're just excited to be able to program directly, you know, like out of into your console. That's what it is.
Yep.
Okay, so now I've got
now
that out of the way.
Major's favorite feature.
No, it's not my favorite feature. Not my favorite feature.
So actually, here's one that I think I know a couple people for whom this will be their favorite feature. So there's a messaging section in Daryl's blog.
Right.
And there's only one bullet under it.
Oh, I know what this is.
Removal of stale Xbox One team recruit messages from the 360 message center.
That's a generic way of saying all those Halo 2 messages that you'd get.
Yep.
The
clan recruit messages.
And this is the stupidest thing, is you'd get those messages from Halo 2, and you'd be able to read the first three or four words in preview, and then when you go into it, it says, I can't read it. Right?
Yeah, I know exactly why it is that way. There's a perfectly good reason. But it looks completely stupid.
It does look completely stupid.
So they will now go away on their own. So, yay. Messenger section. A whole ton of stuff. Improved performance for people with big buddy lists. Added support for accounts ages 13 through 17. There's just a ton of things in there.
This is the best one. This is the one that I see people really like.
Okay.
If you're on your PC and you're trying to IM somebody on the console, if you send them a nudge,
Oh, yes.
It will be translated into a controller vibrate.
Uh-huh.
So I'll let you guys figure that one out.
And the last section, there's the system section. And there's a whole bunch of things in here. There's the improved Xbox guide performance, approximately 2x. There's the always popular updated copyright dates. And
where is that?
It's at the very bottom.
I love the fact that we've updated the copyright dates to 2007, and we're 1 month away from 2008.
But we're not there yet.
Just so,
now, there's one in here that actually I really like. And that one is improved auto sign-in to Xbox Live with the Xbox 360 wireless adapter. There were some people that were having issues, and it was a very in-depth problem, but where it wouldn't automatically sign in for them,
right,
if they were using our wireless adapter to get them on their wireless network at home. That's now fixed.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a lot of people who've been looking for that.
You also have improved download speeds for background downloading.
Yes, which is nice.
Means these servers are going to be serving stuff up even faster.
Mm-hmm. And there's a ton of other stuff in there around, you know, working better with specific routers, connecting to Apple Extreme routers using A/N. Here's a good one. Added support for video playback from UDFS formatted USB devices.
That means?
Well, so for instance, you could take your USB memory stick,
mm-hmm,
put a video on it, plug the memory stick into your
console
USB port, and play the video back directly.
Yeah!
You can also use USB hard drives. There are some limitations around, you know, formatting. It can't be NTFS,
right,
things like that. But all sorts of new ways to actually get video to the console to play it back on your big shiny TV.
And it works well.
It works very well.
And then we also, you know, we didn't really talk about this at all, E. On the Games Blade, we've got this games library section.
Ooh, yes.
And it's really, I guess it's all redesigned and all new. You want to talk about that at all?
It's redesigned and all new.
Excellent. Perfect. Yeah, you can go to My Games and...
It's one of those things that without a picture, it's kind of hard to convey.
Yeah, in the My Games section, this UI, this user interface is called Twist, where it kind of goes across the top and it allows you to pivot your view.
It's kind of like a tab metaphor.
Yeah, exactly. So arcade, Xbox... demos, recently downloaded. So it's a way for you to really look at what's going on in your library.
I like recently played.
There's an interesting one in here that I want to point out, going over to the Marketplace. The Marketplace is all redesigned. There's this thing called the Spotlight and new arrivals. And what's interesting in Spotlight, which is the very first one at the top, very first one, E.
To Spotlight it.
One of the features that we finally have added is called... free stuff. So it'll basically allow you to see some of the newer stuff that's online. So if you just logged in after being off a week, you can go to free stuff and see what some of the free stuff is available.
Yep. And if you've been, you know, whether you're on vacation or you're just busy and you haven't kept up with all the announcements, you can just go check it out and go, ooh, I want that and I want that and I want that.
So Marketplace has free stuff. It's got new arrivals and of course the game and video store that we talked about a little bit earlier. So there's all in all, a lot of stuff going on here, and again, we'll put a link off to the full list. Got anything else, Chaddy, before we roll into some interviews here?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I want to to the dashboard team, congratulations, guys.
Yeah, nice work.
I know how hard they've been working and getting this out, and there's a lot of really good stuff in there.
Yeah, and you and I have been testing it, I've been testing. You didn't test it, did you?
Just a little bit. Actually, internally, on one of the internal Microsoft discussion aliases today, I sent the link out to Elle's post,
right,
on Xbox.com, to your post,
right,
to Daryl's blog, and I said, you know, hey, everybody, here it is. I called out a couple of things that I thought people would really be interested in, you know, have at it. And one of the replies that came not long after was, has anyone in the Xbox team slept recently?
Yeah.
And I thought about it. I was like, not really, no.
Yeah, they haven't. No, they've been really busy on this, so it's been a fun update. And again, it'll be a free update available. Depending upon when you're listening to this, it's going to be available Tuesday morning, sometime in the morning. I'm not going to say when because, you know.
I already did.
Well, you kind of did already.
You'll get it if you're connected to Xbox Live.
You'll get it sometime Tuesday. Yeah, you'll get it sometime Tuesday, and you'll just pop in. And you don't have to install anything. It just downloads, reboots your machine. You're done.
That's kind of nice, huh?
Yeah, it is kind of nice. You don't have to sit there and, like, wait, and it has to unpack itself and then reboot and lose sync with your controllers. Everything stays right there.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
so
well,
there you go.
Well engineered, I'd say.
Well, yes, it is. So there you go. Congratulations, and thank you. Thanks, Dashboard Team. And we actually snuck something else out this week, which is the back-compat update.
Oh, that's right. That that was Monday,
that
wasn't
it? Was it Monday or Tuesday? I don't remember.
There was a fair amount of things on that list. A
lot of stuff. I mean, I think we're over 400 games now on the Bat Compat list.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing, and you know, is to anyone who's waiting for either a game on the Bat Compat list or a feature in the dashboard, if they're really excited about that one thing and they don't get it, it's like, oh. And it, but you know, we've added so much stuff. And
I had a half dozen features that I think only half of them got into this dashboard. If the other three got cut.
Well, I don't remember how many podcasts ago it was, but like you were like, we actually stopped recording,
and I told explain.
So you could explain the feature to me, and then we came back and we're like, sorry, we can't talk about it. It was a great feature,
and it didn't make it.
No,
next time. Oh well. Yeah, there's only, you know, so much work you can do, but these guys did an unbelievable job with it, and I want to thank them for their tireless work.
Yep.
Daryl and company and whatnot, and all those guys over there, and all the developers and all the cool new stuff, the friends of friends.
Developers, testers, PMs, beta testers, release managers.
Yeah, the list goes on.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Et cetera, et cetera. All right, we've kind of exhausted the conversation there. I've got three interviews back to back. We're going to kick it off with the creative director for Chair Entertainment Group, which brought us Undertow. Let's roll into that right now. On the line with me today is creative director for Chair Entertainment, Mr. Donald Muster. Donald, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
So you guys are the team behind that brought us last week's arcade title, which was Undertow. So congratulations on shipping the game, first of all.
Thank you so much.
It seems like it's very well received, as I was just telling you before we started. It's the number one most purchased game on Xbox Live Arcade last week, so that's a good sign.
That's a great sign. I mean, really, hopefully that just means lots of people are playing it, and that's what we want. We just want people playing the game, and we love playing with them. So
now,
pretty cool.
Donald, I want to kick in here because I know that you and Jeremy were working on some other titles in the past, and now you've broken off and formed your own own group here. This is your first title under your own leadership. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. This is the first title that the studio has shipped.
I want to talk to you about Undertow, and also more importantly about Xbox Live Arcade and how important it was for you guys in the process, and how you think it's going to impact game developers moving on, because you've worked on a lot of titles.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like to ask you a little bit about that.
Okay, shoot.
Well, first of all, how was it working with Arcade?
Oh, man. We loved working with Arcade. It was so refreshing to just be able to... Cause one of the interesting things about Live Arcade is it really kind of forces you to distill a game down to its pure kind of essence of fun. There's just not a lot of room for fluff or anything like that. And so it really just kind of forced us to create a pure game. And that was such a fun experience to just really kind of find the fun. And once we found it, just really just kind of polished and polished that until what we thought was a really fun, unique game that we think offered something completely different on Live Arcade to what's already there.
Yeah, so let's talk about Undertow, because I'm a big fan of it because... I don't know if you know this, but I'm a scuba diver, so as soon as I saw this, I was out of my mind, and I was like, I got to play this game, and I'm having a great time with it. But where did you come up with the idea, and how did you walk us through the development process from the beginning of the idea all the way to shipping it last week?
Okay, well, when I was about 10 years old, I had an assignment in social studies that we had to write some report on, I think, some civilization. Instead of writing a report, I was able to convince my teacher. I was always doing this in school, trying to get out of any work I could so I could draw. And I convinced my teacher that instead of writing a report, I could just draw this civilization. So I did this massive series of drawings of these huge underwater battles. And that's kind of the incubus of where it all came from. About a year ago, when we decided, we found that we had kind of some time in our schedule, and we'd kind of been looking at Live Arcade and had, you know, we really wanted to do something in that space. And so we sat down as a team and we talked about a bunch of different ideas that we thought would be applicable to the space. And Undertow was one of them and was the one that we decided to kind of go with. And so we took those drawings and, from there we, you know, designed out the game and quickly started prototyping it. And that was probably the best thing that happened with Undertow, was that literally within a few weeks of us saying, let's do it, we had a functional prototype where, I mean, granted, we were just cubes swimming around in a cube world, but we were playing multiplayer matches against each other and having a lot of fun. And once we had that, we we knew we had a really fun, cool game. And I what really appealed to me, I mean, the idea of doing something underwater has always appealed to me, just because I thought from a visual standpoint, it would be so cool to have these super detailed underwater worlds where there's light shafts coming down through the water, and there's caustic lighting over everything, and there's fish swimming around, and we could have all the different coral and rock formations and different tide pools and things like that, and just visually offer something different, but still have this really fast action gameplay. And so that's what we did. We just pushed it and crammed in as many features as we could until we had a sweet looking game that played awesome under 50 megabytes. And
yeah,
that's what we ended up with.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, you know, I was playing it, and it feels like you're underwater. You really captured the essence, as I was saying, I'm a diver, so it really felt like I was underwater without getting wet as I'm kind of scooting around there. And, you know, unfortunately, I haven't used my spear gun to shoot too many people, so I'll have to take your word on that one. But otherwise, it really captured it. Now, I want to, when you were developing this game, did you say we want to have a great single player experience? Then, oh yeah, multiplayer, or was it like multiplayer? And oh wait a minute, we should have single player. How did you come up with that, and how did you marry and wind the two in together?
Well, we kind of did both. I mean, we're pretty. We play a lot of games here at Chair. All of our games guys play a lot of games, and we love multiplayer games. But we also love, you know, good single player games as well. And so we thought that the core gameplay of Undertow kind of sprang. At least definitely the first thing we were playing was multiplayer, because, you know, before we had any AI and stuff like that, we had to function as that. But we thought, no, I mean, I think we really thought early on that we could craft a pretty cool single-player campaign out of that kind of gameplay style. And so in the multiplayer, you're going to get really, I mean, I think we were able to get a pretty robust, cool multiplayer experience, but the single-player kind of exists on its own. There's a lot of really cool scripted stuff that we're doing in there, and lots of unique stuff we're doing with the AI, and with the story. I think it gave us, you know, we weren't trying to do anything too serious. We liked the idea of this really kind of pulpy, you know, fantasy kind of world that we created, and these different races vying for power, and just gave us a lot of fun stuff that we could do with that and weave that into a single-player campaign with, you know, the more traditional bosses and, you know, level flow and things like that.
Yeah,
so
I mean, a lot of people
found
forget
a good
that the single player is actually, I believe it's 15 levels, is that correct?
Uh-huh, it is. It's a 15-level campaign that takes you through the three different races that you can play as.
So that, I mean, that's pretty good style, and I haven't even completed one of the levels yet, and I'm still going, so they're fairly lengthy in experience. I want to switch over to the multiplayer experience, because this game is just fun. I mean, it's great and refreshing when you find a game that is just fun online, and when I've gone online with this one, people are having a great time with it. Does that surprise you?
Well, I mean, we're definitely flattered by it. We hoped that would be the case. I mean, we've been having a ton of fun playing the game, you know, together for the last year. But we were really just excited to be able to actually go online and play with real people that weren't us. And I, at least me personally, I've been having so much fun the last week playing with people from all over the world. And people just seem to really like it and really kind of get it. And honestly, I was kind of secretly hoping that at least for a couple weeks I would be one of the better players, you know, but people are just too good, man. I'm totally getting owned, you know. I mean, it's just like all these people that are already so good at the game. And
yeah, that tends to happen, is that the developers will be really good for about the first 60 minutes of release, and then after that it's all over.
Exactly. So, you know, that's fine. I'm happy being the fodder for all of these really good players out there, but it's just really gratifying to, because that's where, at the end of the day, we're making games so for us to play and for us to play them with people, and it's pretty pretty awesome to have people like it and be playing with us.
Yeah, I was excited. I was excited when it came out, because I was like, the last underwater game experience I had was Echo the Dolphin. Which, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of. I didn't want to be a dolphin. But this one really captures a lot of the elements underwater. You were telling me a lot of people were beating up on you online, and I have to ask this. I like to ask this of most of my guests, but what is your gamer tag?
My gamer tag is Avril Torrent.
Oh, how do you spell that?
It's Do you want me to really spell it out for you?
Yeah.
So what it is we always make our gamer tags. We actually have two.
Okay.
That's mine at home, and then we have one here at the office that's Chrome.
Right.
And we always name our gamer tags after the bad guys in some of our other franchises. So
got it.
The bad guys in Advent Rising were Chrome, and the bad guy in our other franchise, Empire, is this guy named Avril Torrent.
Got it.
And so people can look for me online. In fact, what we're going to do is starting tomorrow night, from now on, Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, we are going to be hosting matches. We're going to be hosting matches so that anyone wants to come and play with us, come play with us.
So
we're going to be on.
They should be looking for that gamer tag on.
Yeah, look for Avril Torrent, look for Chrome, and there'll be some other ones that you'll get familiar with as you play with us. So Tuesdays at 10 o'clock Eastern.
Okay.
10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, like 7 p.m. Pacific, we're going to be hosting matches and what we hope will happen is just, people will just come and play with us and kind of come be part of our little community. And hey, you can just come beat up on me for a couple hours and get a bunch of kills.
So Tuesdays at 10 o'clock, I think we need to christen it Undertow Tuesday.
Undertow
Tuesday at 10 o'clock Eastern, you can look for these guys. I know that you'll be on there. Will Jeremy as well be joining you?
Yeah, Jeremy will be on there, and most of the other guys on the team. We'll have lots of different games up, and we picked Tuesday because I don't know. There's nothing on Tuesday night that I like to watch, on TV. So that's the night we're going to do it.
Why not? Right?
Exactly.
That'll keep you going.
Plus, Undertow Tuesday. That sounds great.
Undertow Tuesday sounds great. Now, I want to ask you. You're working on some other arcade titles. Can we expect some other cool stuff from you? I'm not looking for any scoops. I hope you guys are working on some cool stuff.
Well, I'll tell you. We didn't know what to expect going into this, and we've had so much fun making Undertow that we have already begun development on our next live arcade title. And it's coming along great. It's something completely different than Undertow. And we think, at least, it's the game I want to play next. I mean, it's a really cool game, and we hope people will like it as much as we're loving making it. So we want to keep making games for live arcade as long as we can. It's just such an awesome space.
Great, Donald. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. Donald Mustard, the creative director for Chair Entertainment, who brought us the, and I get, is it award-winning? Because it seems like official Xbox, IGN, everybody's loving this game. So we could say, I'll go ahead and say it's award-winning because it feels like it's going to be headed in the right direction. Congratulations on a great title and launching the game, and we look forward to seeing what else Chair Entertainment is going to come out with. Thanks so much for your time, man.
Cool. Thank you so much.
One of the hot games that everyone's excited about in the family is Star Wars The Complete Saga. And on the line with me today is Sean Stork and Andrew Bell, who both worked on this. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Thank you for having us.
So I'm excited about this title. Lego Star Wars came out, when did it come out? Boy, a couple of years ago, right?
Yeah, that's what it feels like now. But with the amount of popularity that's out there, we like to think of the game as truly timeless.
Yeah, it sure is. I mean, it's got Star Wars in it. But I mean, I remember when this came out, it was like, how are they going to do this? And then I started playing with it. And first of all, you took these two great universes that people love, Legos and Star Wars, and you made a mashup out of them, for lack of a better term. And you're doing these great things. What was it like to work on these franchises with two of these hallmark brands, Lego and Star Wars?
Well, it's really exciting being a big fan of both the Lego toys and of Star Wars. It was great to become involved with the product and with the great creative minds over at Traveler's Tales. They really, if there is a place that you could call a magic shop, it's definitely their establishment because, we're constantly amazed by the incredibly creative and colorful things that come out of those guys.
Now, this is the game is rated E10, which is basically 10 years and old and over, so it's a great game that you can play around the holiday with everybody. I want to talk a little bit about the game. Walk us through the game and how it works. I played some of it, and I've had a great time with it, but for maybe some listeners haven't played the game, certainly they know the Star Wars universe, but just set it up a little bit for us.
Well, in a nutshell, I mean, the way we like to talk about it here at LucasArts is we like to say that It takes the fun and creativity of the Lego brand, and it combines it with the colorful characters, the engrossing action, that you know, the deep storyline of Star Wars, and it puts them together in a fun and kind of a humorous way, so that you can experience, especially in Lego Star Wars, the complete saga, the entire spread of six films from beginning to end for the very first time. Now, you know, playing as these small Lego minifigure characters, we've got over 120 Star Wars characters modeled as Lego minifigs. It's, you know, as you said, it's very very family friendly. It's an E10 product. You know, you never die. There's no blood. There's nothing crazy like that. You go through. You can play cooperatively if you like with someone sitting next to you, or on Lego Star Wars Complete Saga, you can now play online, which is really great. So you just basically go through and you reenact in a kind of this really cute Lego world, all of the hallmark events of all six Star Wars films.
I want to back up a little bit because you touched on something there, the fact that you can play co-op over Xbox Live.
Absolutely.
Now, you guys are clearly gamers. Does that feel like it's the new frontier for gaming? Because a lot of people think that maybe head-to-head gaming is really hardcore, but I love co-op titles. You know, I did it with Crackdown. I did it with Halo. I've done it with a few other games. But now that I can do it with this game, I mean, that's just a lot of fun. What do you guys think of that?
You know, co-op gaming, it definitely, you know, LEGO Star Wars really shone a light on that aspect of gaming. And, you know, mostly we're all competing against each other when we're playing games, but it's really nice, it's really refreshing to see a title like this bring co-op gaming to the forefront. And particularly when I'm traveling, if I've got my DS, if I'm playing, you know, the latest build or what have you, I've had people sitting next to the plane on me say, you know, I'm really excited about this game, thank you for making it. It's really great that I can get in and play a game with my kid, my nephew, my niece, whatever. Number one, not feel like they're just going to get completely blown out of the water, you know, by a youngster, but that they're doing something together, that they're helping each other achieve, and they're bringing each other up, and they're doing it in a way that's, you know, like we said before, it's really family friendly, it's fun, it's tongue in cheek, it's got aspects that speak to both a younger skewing audience and people who are fans of the original Star Wars films that saw them back when they came out over 30 years ago.
Now, you guys work at LucasArts, so you must have, like, all the cool Darth Vader and Death Star stuff all kicking around in your offices, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. Unfortunately, my office is, it looks like many other offices, you know, in the corporate world, but, you know, you walk around our hallways, and we are very fortunate to have the benefit of having a lot of that memorabilia in the hallways. It's kind of nice color, a lot of nice concept art and stuff, but, you know, I prefer to keep it all business, because you never know when I'm going to get, when I'm going to blow a gasket and throw something. I wouldn't want to break anything and have George come down here and breathe down my neck.
That's a good point. So I want to talk about something that's coming up this coming weekend. Actually, it's the next weekend. It's the weekend of the December 7th through 9th. It's the Play and Win weekend. Can you tell me how that's going to work?
Play and Win weekend. Well, what's going to happen is going to be the weekend of December 7th through 9th, like you said, and we're going to have players come and register at the Play and Win website. And what you're going to be able to do is you're going to be entered one time per hour for each hour you play co-op. There's going to be 72 prizes. That means, you know, one is going to be awarded per hour over the 72 hours the event's going to take place. And there's going to be one grand prize, which, you know, it's just really, really exciting. It's the Lego Star Wars Death Star. And I don't know if people have seen this. Most of the fans probably will have already. But we've got a couple of them here in the office. And they really are an incredible sight to see, not only as a huge Lego construction, but also as a feat of Lego engineering.
Now, I have to ask you this. Now, is this the Death Star like it was in Episode 4, or is this like it was in Episode 6 when it was under construction again? Which one is it?
It's the F6 under construction Death Star.
Got it. So, and is it life-size?
Life-size. Well, I don't know if there's enough Lego to go around if we could do that, but it's quite big. How big is it, Andrew? It's a couple feet across.
Wow.
Yeah, it's at least a foot and a half in diameter, and yeah, spherical. Yeah.
it's a Death Star. I mean, everyone knows what that is. So what I'll do is I'll put a link up to where people can register and more information about that. It'll be up on Xbox.com, so that'll be kicking around. So you have plenty of time to go out and pick up this game to do co-op together, or as you guys noted, over Xbox Live, which is just a ton of fun. The other thing that a lot of people don't realize when they play this, and it just brings a huge smile to their face, is the wonderful comedy that you have brought to this series. Tell me a little bit about the comedy, because that's just such a wonderful, refreshing angle.
Well, you know, like I kind of alluded to earlier, you know, the game touches on points that can be appreciated by fans, you know, multiple generations of fans. And if you watch the movies over and over again, like many of us have done, you'll see little areas where there is, you know, there is some tongue-in-cheek humor in the films. And what we've done is we've taken taken that opportunity with, you know, the Lego property and just, you know, for lack of a better term, the cuteness of the Lego features in the Lego world, and we really played up on that humor and really just gone and blown it out completely and just look for places where, you know, for example, you may unlock a secret door, open it up, and there's a bunch of stormtroopers kind of lounging around like in a jacuzzi, you know, just silly things like that. And the guys at Traveler's Tales are, they're masters at finding places to subtly put this humor in there and to also find places, like I said before, where it can speak to gamers of all ages.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're dealing with some IP that is known the world over. It's some of the most successful intellectual property that's ever been developed. So it's got to be fun to be able to stay to the story, but also have a little bit of fun in that atmosphere and universe.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, that's one of the things that we're very lucky, we're fortunate enough, you know, that this is the one thing that Lego really brings to the whole Star Wars franchise, is just the silliness of having, you know, seeing Luke Skywalker, Darth Vader, Darth Maul, you know, all of these characters that you love just as little Lego minifigs and how they interact with each other and also how they communicate with each other, because there is no spoken dialogue in the game. It's all gestural, it's all sounds, and it's more, you know, we wring the emotion out of these little characters as much as we can, and just seeing that, you know, the amusing animations and the way they get things across to each other to tell the story of Star Wars, it, you know, for me personally, it's just one of the great things about this franchise.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a lot of fun. It's, as I said earlier, it's definitely a family-friendly game. It's one you should definitely be playing this holiday season, because you could do the co-op locally. You can do it over Xbox Live. And also, the week of the 7th through the 9th, you can play and win maybe some cool prizes, including your own Death Star.
Absolutely.
So, all right, gentlemen, I'm going to let you go. I appreciate you coming on the show, and we'll see you online.
It's our pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Need for Speed Pro Street is in stores right now, and joining me on the line is one of the producers, Mr. Mark Little. Mark, thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here.
Need for Speed, it's the latest addition in a long franchise. I mean, Need for Speed has been around for a while, and Pro Street is a great addition. Can you walk me through some of the new features on the title?
Well, I mean, Need for Speed Pro Street has taken the franchise in a slightly different direction from where we've been in the past. This is all about proving that you're the best street racer on a global stage, competing in race days where you have to compete against multiple different drivers in multiple different events to show that you are actually the best street racer in the world.
All right, that sounds pretty interesting. I mean, it sounds great. How do one of the things that my audience is really interested in, of course, there's the offline, or, you know, the campaign, and then there's the online.
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the online and what you guys have done with Xbox Live.
Well, we've done a couple new things in Pro Street. So one of the things that we wanted to focus on a lot is allowing people to compete with each other, but not necessarily having to organize each other's schedule. So one of the things we recognized very early on, and even in our own lives, is it's sometimes hard to meet up with your friends on Xbox Live just due to life and schedules and how busy everyone is.
Yep.
And so we created a mechanism for people to compete asynchronously with each other. So you can go into one of our race days, play, put up a really high score, and then on your other friend's system, he will see you on his friend's leaderboard inside the game, who's winning, which races people have won. And it kind of challenges you amongst your friends to prove who has the mustard, if you like.
Got it. So I can actually, it doesn't really matter if I have friends that are in Europe or Japan or Australia, since we're not in the same time zone, as you said, even if we can't compete live one-to-one directly, we can kind of compete over the course of a day or a couple days as each of us is going online and offline.
Yeah, and absolutely. And one of the other things we did is that our game is based around what we call race days, and those are a series of events at a location that you compete at for points. And whoever can get the most points wins the race day. One of the cool features we added in was the ability for the players to create their own race days. So you can take all the catalog of all the races we have in all our different locations, pick your favorite location, pick the modes that you like the most. So if you like grip racing and drift and drag, choose all those modes, build your own race day, but then you can share it with your friends and say, hey, here's my race day. You can even set the cars that you want them to race with and say, see if you can beat my score on this.
Oh, that's great. So you can you set up all the parameters, and then you can kind of share it out amongst your friends.
Yeah, and the race days can share virally. So your friend can share it with another friend that can share it with another friend. And this is something we're actually going to be doing through our own community sites in the future. We'll set up challenges with our community and say, hey, here's a race day we want you guys to all compete at. Let's see how good you are.
Now tell me a little bit about this blueprint sharing, because that sounds interesting. I haven't had a chance to experience that yet.
Well, blueprint sharing is the way that you can share cars in your game. So a blueprint is the complete setup for your car. So as a player, you go into your garage and you start customizing your car. And like in every Need for Speed game, there's lots of customization you can do, complete with full auto sculpt this year. We've gone even farther with it this year, where auto sculpt actually affects the performance and the aerodynamic behaviors of your car in gameplay. So how you shape your car and what you make it look like make a difference to gameplay. And that is all saved. All that information, all your tuning, all your customization is saved as a blueprint. And then you can go online and say, okay, I'm a better tuner than my friend, and he's having trouble on this event. So because he's my friend and I like him, I'm going to share him out my blueprint. Now, the cool thing is if he actually is a better driver than as he starts playing with that blueprint, and if he starts making it onto the leaderboards, it'll say his name, his score, car tuned by you, your gamer tag.
Interesting. So it's the kind of way I can get a name for myself in the race in the racing community, because obviously if I get a good blueprint going and it gets start getting passed around, everyone's going to see my name.
Yeah, and there's actually achievements for becoming a really good designer of blueprints out there. It's about how many people have used them and how many people have been able to get them onto leaderboards.
Now, it's also, if I'm understanding this correctly, because I was looking at this feature, right here on my Xbox, is that it's not only just the tuning of the car, but it's also the visual. Like they're kind of, it's the visual.
Absolutely.
And their performance, correct?
Yeah, it's the exact replica of that car. So you're basically shipping them a version of that car that they can use.
And hopefully they'll be able to, not beat you with it, because that would kind of suck if you designed this car and then somebody beat you with it.
Well, that's the greatest irony of the whole feature, isn't it? But that's where it's fun to compete, because even amongst the people in our office, there's people that can really design and tune and build cars out well, and then there's other people that can drive. And it's always interesting to see the arguments about, well, you're winning because you're a better tuner, or you're winning because you're a better driver. And this is a way that if you want to compete with the same cars exactly the same way, you can level the playing field and make it just about driving skill.
Now, talk to me a little bit about some of your downloadable content plans, because I've been hearing some rumblings about it, and I've been getting some questions from the community. So now that I got you on the line, I'm going to corner you and ask you, what's going on?
That's not a problem. Actually, as soon as we shipped the game, our whole team kept working on more content. So we are releasing a booster pack in mid-December that will have free content in it. It will have two new tracks. So we're adding in Leipzig's test facility. So this is from our friends at Porsche. This is their actual test facility in Leipzig.
I have actually been by that track a few times when I was at the Leipzig Game Show. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's an amazing facility. It's a place we spend a lot of time with early on, gathering telemetry data and doing research with Porsche. The cool thing about their track is it's not their own track design. They actually took some of the coolest corners and track moments from the best tracks around the world and put it on their facility. So when they're testing their car, they can test what it's kind of like going down the corkscrew, because they have their own version of the corkscrew built into that track.
Right.
So it's a very cool track. The other track that we built out was what we're calling the Tokyo Expressway. And this is a high-speed highway run to go as part of our speed challenge mode that's based on, it's inspired by the Shudo Expressway in Japan, which is a very famous highway for street racing in Japan. And so players will have the experience of what it's like to fire down these expressways. And in that track, you'll be hitting 200 to 250 miles an hour with a high-end car.
It's great to that you're doing that, you know, the free downloadable content. How do you guys arrive at that decision that, you know, okay, so a lot of people think that the game ships and then, wait a minute, we have this extra content we couldn't get in the game, so we'll just put it as downloadable content. But you guys, you know, the game was locked and loaded, you know, weeks ago, so you just kept after they sent that off to the replication plan, I assume you guys kept the team working and said, all right, let's kick out some downloadable content.
Well, I mean, for us, it's very important to support the community in the life of the game, right? The other thing that's in the booster pack is there are a couple free cars in there, but then there's also some premium unlocked cars that come with it. So if you want to, you can get access to up to 14 more cars that you're going to have to buy. But they include some three new Porsches, and for the first time ever, it's going to include the Bugatti Veyron in a video game, which is the 1,001 horsepower monster, right?
Yeah, so that's
some very cool.
It's going to be interesting to see how I slam into a wall with that thing, because it's
yeah,
unbelievable.
I can tell you from testing it, it crashes quite well.
Now, there's actually a free multiplayer demo up on Xbox Live Marketplace, correct?
That's correct.
So if you guys want to take a look at Need for Speed Pro Street, you should go ahead and download that demo. Now, of course, you won't have access to all the cool downloadable content when you know, you need to have the full game for that. Before I let you go, Mark, I want to talk to you about this special event you have planned coming up. Tell me about that.
Well, in January, on January 11th, 12th, and 13th, we're going to be holding a live event, a play-and-win event is what we're calling it. And on the Friday, which is the 11th, it's going to be a day to play against the dev team from 2 to 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Okay.
So you'll find myself and a lot of the other development team on Xbox Live, and you can come in, race us and see if you have what it takes to beat us. And there are a few people out there that clearly do. Uh-huh. And then on the next 2 days, there's a 48-hour play and win where there's a sweepstakes. And then people who register on Xbox.com can also win prizes, and there's prizes given away every hour. As well, there's a leaderboard tournament that's happening where people can see how well they do, improve their skills, and the top person on the leaderboard will win a pretty nice prize pack that includes an Xbox 360 Elite, amongst other things.
So you got a lot going on that. So people basically have about a month or so, a little bit more than a month, to kind of practice and get ready so that when they go up against you, they can win some cool prizes in that play-and-win weekend, which is January 11th, correct?
That's correct.
That sounds great. Well, listen, Mark, I appreciate your time today. I'm going to definitely check out Need for Speed Pro Street, which is available right now on the Xbox 360. You also have it out on the PS3 and pretty much every platform out there, correct?
Yeah, it's also on the Wii and the PS2 and the Nintendo DS.
Cool, but all the things we just talked about are available on the Xbox 360 right now, so go out and pick that up. I appreciate your time, my friend.
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, there we go. Those are the three interviews I had for this week. Thank you for all my interviewees for participating. I have an interesting set of interviews next week I'll tell you about at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
It's always, they're regular guests, and they're always welcome back, and I'll tell you about that at the end of the show.
Yes.
I think you know who that is, so... Mm-hmm. All right.
The SMGs.
We'll keep going here. You want to do name the game? We got to do name the game first.
Name the game.
So here's the game that was from 2 weeks ago.
It was, because it was prior to the Twinkie show.
The Twinkie Fest. Okay, here we go. That was Name the Game from last time, which was like 2 or 3 weeks ago. I don't even remember, E. But that was John Woo's Stranglehold. You played that, haven't you?
I have not.
Don't play games anymore. You're so busy.
Shut up. I played a bunch of games last weekend, but all I got to was Assassin's Creed and Halo 3.
So that was, I want to congratulate Exo Cartmans. I believe that's a South Park reference.
From our listeners, I'm shocked. I know. Shocked,
you'll be shocked.
I tell you.
So congratulations, you got yourself a Turtle Beach Air Force X1 headset for Name the Game, and then we've got a brand new Name the Game for this week, and E is going to choose it.
I am?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. I think you know what that is. That is a sound clip from an Xbox 360 game. Send me an email, major@xbox.com. major@xbox.com. Put name the game, colon, and then your guess. And then we'll put you into a big pool of winners and everyone that got it right and pull it out.
So it's a 360 game. No Sega
right,
Genesis.
It's a 360 game,
or,
yeah.
Okay.
So in the spirit of winners... was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, it was Live as Five. We gave away these guys, and I want to congratulate everybody who signed in and rose to E's challenge. We had five or six winners
Yes.
Who sent us? Well, we had a ton of people, like 200 people, sending us their memories of Xbox Live, and I'm going to send them out the shirts this week. I don't have the names in front of me, or I'd read them.
I'm actually almost out of shirts now. So
I'm just looking outside because I'm right next to the parking lot. You know what? One of my irritating things is people who just park in those handicapped parking spots.
Oh, did somebody just?
Yeah.
Oh, somebody in a red Mini.
Yeah.
It's really tempting to give out the license plate, but I'm not going to.
Yeah. If you have a red Mini license plate. Never mind.
Yeah.
So, all right. So, I'm sorry. I got totally distracted there. So, that's I want to thank everybody who emailed me there. We're going to send you out your cool shirts. That was Live as Five from a couple weeks ago, and we'll continue on going. E, it's Xbox 101 time, and when E is here, which is tends to be frequently later, we have a special sound. We have a special song intro for him.
Xbox 101. This time with E and Major Nelson.
So Xbox 101 for this week, based on all the features we were talking about, this seemed kind of timely.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure. We spent a lot of time discussing improved support for music and video playback. So I thought real quickly, let's tell people how to set things up so that they can stream music and video and pictures from a PC in their house to their 360.
Okay.
So it's really pretty easy. And if you want, you can go up to xbox.com/PC setup.
Oh, is that where it is?
Yep. And it will walk you right through how to do it. Essentially, all you need to do is download either the Zune software or Windows Media Player 11. Let's say you download the Zune software. It's free. You don't need to actually have a Zune device to have it on your PC.
Okay. And it only runs on Windows, though, now, right?
It only runs on Windows.
32 or 64-bit.
There are third-party software packages that will allow you to stream content to your 360. I'm not going to try and address those here, yep. Obviously.
Use your favorite search engine.
Yeah, if you call Xbox support, they're not going to be able to help you with it, but you can certainly do it. Go to search.live.com or Google, and you can easily find out how. But download the Zune software. Once it installs, fire it up. Under the Settings menu, go to Software, go to Sharing, and click Enable Media Sharing with Xbox 360. Now, the Zune software has built into it what some people might remember used to be called Windows Media Connect, although it's a much enhanced version of that. And it will take your libraries in your, you know, My Videos, My Photos, My Music directories on your hard drive,
right,
and make all that available to devices on the network.
Ta-da!
And then go to your 360. You'll see your computer, select it, and you'll be able to browse your library and watch videos, listen to your music, look at pictures through your console. The only caveat I'll throw out there is if you want to watch video, especially HD video, you're going to need a fairly beefy wireless network at home if you're not
like an
wired everywhere. Yeah, so here's the catch. Well, two catches if you're doing wireless streaming of HD video. Catch number one, the PC is going to need to be wired to your router.
Right.
Both devices being wireless on the same frequency.
Bad.
There's not enough spectrum in that wireless frequency for that to work really well. Caveat number two, you're going to want either 802.11a or 802.11n on your 360 or just be wired.
Is that the new G?
N is the new standard, let's put it that way. Those will give you enough bandwidth with limited interference so that you'll actually be able to stream like an HD movie off your PC
right.
to your 360 and watch it on your big screen.
Okay.
If you're using 802.11b or G, there's a good chance you're not going to get enough bandwidth. And there you go.
So I'll put a link to where people can find more because that's pretty – you went over a lot of stuff and everyone's like – they're sitting on the subway or they're sitting in the bus right now and their head's going, what is he saying?
Xbox.com/PC setup.
Oh, okay. There you go. That's it. So thank you, E, for that Xbox 101. I appreciate that.
Ta-da.
Usually at this point in the show, we either wrap it up or talk about gadgets. What would you like to talk about, E? You want to talk about that down there that I have? So I
down there.
I want to talk some more about some HD DVD stuff.
Oh,
I got the HD DVD.
I'm borrowing this weekend
of right? Star Trek right. the original. No, because it took me like 6 weeks to get my Heroes DVDs back. Remember?
That's a good point. Okay.
Star Trek this is the original series. It's first season, and they're in complete glorious HD. And on the flip side, you have the regular DVD version.
And so, they look really nice.
So I've got some stuff that I'm getting from the HD DVD folks to give away. So we'll be giving away some cool HD DVDs coming up. In fact, I want to talk about next
Ooh.
Week. Well, you know, I didn't want to talk about it, but I got some cool stuff to give away next week.
I like the packaging for these. Gives you the start date of the mission, the original air date.
Oh yeah, it's all there. Nice. It's really quite nice. So that was kind of one of the gadget-y type things that I got.
Gadget-y.
Yeah, I know. Just move past it.
Okay.
So that's kind of cool. What I've got. What else?
What have you been playing?
You know, I played Mass Effect. I'm probably about 7 hours into it.
And you have your Mass Effect hoodie on.
I got my Mass Effect hoodie on. I'm kind of going through it, but I'm not really an RPG guy, so I'm really the wrong person to ask. Of course, everyone's going, well, then why the hell are you playing 6 hours?
Well, it's BioWare.
Right.
So it's going to be a great game. You know that.
Right.
I know some people who are, well, actually, they may be done the second time through already. I mean, the people I know who are RPG fans are in love with it, and I don't know if they're ever going to come up for air.
So I'm playing Mass Effect. I know you and I have been playing Assassin's Creed. I talked last week about how I finished COD4.
Which I'm going to get to right after I finish Assassin's Creed.
Which is going to be right after he finishes Bioshock.
No, I don't think I'm not going to make it back to Bioshock anytime soon. Christmas.
I was playing, I played Kane and Lynch.
Oh.
You want to talk about that?
I don't know that I do.
Yeah.
I haven't tried Kane and Lynch yet.
Okay.
There's been a little drama on the intertubes about Kane and Lynch.
There has been, hasn't there?
Yeah.
There always has been a little bit of drama. So
go check out, Penny Arcade, and that's a good place to start seeing what happened.
Mr. Gerstmann, if you're around, drop me a line, major@xbox.com.
There you go. Speaking of Penny Arcade,
yes,
we should give blurb number one for Child's Play.
Hit it.
Because Child's Play is coming up here very quickly.
Why don't you explain what Child's Play is, because maybe some folks don't know what it is.
Let me pull up the website, because I'm going to let Gabe and Tycho do it for me. So the website is childsplaycharity.org. What is Child's Play? I'll just read this here. Since 2003, over 100,000 gamers worldwide have banded together through Child's Play, a community-based charity grown and nurtured from the game culture of industry. Over $2 million in donations of toys, games, books, and cash for sick kids in Children's Hospital across North America and the world have been collected.
So go to the website, and we want to. They've got an event coming up. I think I'll be there.
You're going to be there. I'm going to be there with a whole bunch of friends. There's
bought a table, didn't you? You bought two or three tables.
We didn't get a table. We got seats at tables.
Okay. But
there's an actual charity dinner here in Seattle coming up in about 2 weeks, where they're going to have a silent auction. You can donate online. Last year, they raised, I think, over $1 million.
Yeah.
Just in Child's Play last year.
Because I remember when I was there last year, that one table had this, like, I think it was like $40,000 they bid to be a voice in Halo 3.
That was the Red versus Blue guys.
Yeah, it was the RVB guys.
So, and there's that one spot in, I can't remember which level it is, but if you actually go down a certain hallway
and hang a right,
you can hear the voices, and it's hilarious. It's a great charity. I encourage people to go check it out. It's definitely worth your support.
So that's cool. This week, we're kind of drifting here, but this week I'm going to Rochester.
Wait. We're drifting on the podcast?
Yeah, I know.
Because that never happens.
No. But I'm going to Rochester this week, Rochester Institute of Technology. I'll be traveling there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And that's the whole reason I can't go to the Video Game Awards Friday night, because I'll be traveling back from Rochester.
That's right.
So if you're in Rochester, if you go to RIT, look for me. I'll be at this event. I believe it's on Thursday. It's a recruiting event. Come on down. Say hello. I'll be bringing some cool free stuff with me. I got something in my office I'll give away. I don't know.
You have some amazingly cool stuff in here.
Yeah, don't touch any of it.
Yeah. I was going to say, normally when I come in here, I get to steal some of it. But
no, this is
you have a lot of stuff I'm not allowed to touch. I don't like that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in here I'm working on. For Inside Xbox, we talked about Inside Xbox. I'm doing a lot of videos for that. So it's got a lot of props, as they say in
and
show business. No, you don't want that.
Yeah, I do.
I can't give anything away. I got to show it.
Well, after you show it, can I have it?
So I'll be at Hazer. That's the word for you. It's the Yiddish word for pig. You're a Hazer. So I'll be at Rochester Institute of Technology on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I'm going to be looking for some good wings. Hot wings, baby. Upstate New York. Not going to be in Rochester.
I mean, they originated
or Buffalo.
In Buffalo.
Right, I had great ones when I was in Syracuse, so I can imagine there's got to be some good wings in Rochester. Boy, you and I always end up on food with the Twinkies, with the In-N-Out Burger. Why is that?
We like to eat.
God.
I mean, luckily neither of us is like 500 pounds.
Right.
But
you'd think we were, by the way. We're always talking about this stuff.
Yeah. We'll save that for the after show.
He's
going to get into Twinkies again.
So I'll be at Rochester Institute of Technology, and then next week, we're going to wrap it up right now.
We are?
Yeah, we are. We're going to wrap it up right now. But next week, I got a big show. I talked about that a little earlier on. I got the guys from from Microsoft Research who worked on the TruSkill ranking system.
The scary math guys.
Scary math guys. And they come in here, and they got some really interesting stuff to talk about. They actually have a competition, and they're going to tell you how you can be an intern at Microsoft Research.
Oh.
That'll be next week.
One last thing before we wrap it up, because I just looked at the your pre-show prep, which consists of three things on the whiteboard.
Right.
And the one thing we didn't do is remind people that if you don't want people to be able to see your friends of friends list,
right,
or you want to limit it to only your friends and not everyone being able to see it,
right,
that you essentially have between now and December 4th to go change that on Xbox.com prior to the dashboard going out.
So Xbox.com/FOF yes. for friends of friends.
Yep.
And you can go change that now. And then you'll be all set. Although, if you don't mind sharing your friends list with everybody wide open, and you're of age, because if you're underage, we don't do that.
Right.
Then you don't have to do anything. But go ahead to xbox.com/friends of friends or FOF, and it will
FOF
take care of FOF. So, all right, we're gonna wrap it up now. I would be remiss if I didn't thank our good friends at centricom.net who have been just I've been sucking up their bandwidth this week, boy.
They've had a busy couple of days.
So thanks to Centricom.net providing MajorNelson.com with that secured and assured hosting environment. They put in some new hardware, so we're faster than ever before. Also, I want to thank CashFly for their services. They put up my podcasts and any PDF files that I put, pretty much anything I want up there. So
that's very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice of them. So thank you guys for that. So we're going to wrap it up now, but this is Larry here, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, along with E. I want to thank you for downloading my show. Remember, have fun, play fair, send feedback, and as you probably heard on the internet this week, file a complaint if you come across anybody.
Yes.
Make sure you do that, because we do take action. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks a lot for downloading the show. Bye-bye. Did you like that shirt I had on in those pictures?
Which pictures?
The guys I took with Tiny Dancer or Fruit Brute.
Oh, the old shirt?
Yeah.
The
internet liked that shirt.
And every time that picture goes up, they like that shirt.
Exactly.
It's one of the ugliest things I've ever seen in my life.
All right.
What do you and you've worn it multiple times. Because didn't you wear that at
E3
one year?
I had it at E3, but I think it was just a lot of photos and whatnot were taken at that particular day that I wore that shirt. So,
Okay.
I'm telling you.
You're not bringing it to CES, are you?
I could if you want me to.
No, please don't. Because whether I go to CES or not, don't take the shirt. Please.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Twinkies we ate last week? Oh, no, first of all, I want to apologize. I didn't realize how gross it was to hear people eat until after I listened to the after show last week, you and I cooking those Twinkies.
You couldn't really hear Sedona snore, though. It didn't pick up.
Oh, well.
She was snoring pretty
though.
Loudly.
Yeah.
I mean.
I need more sensitive microphones. But Twinkies, for those of you that don't know what they are, you know, I'm sure you already did a web search, but they're these cosmically filled cakes of fun.
They're yellow sponge cake with a cream filling.
With absolutely zero nutritional value.
See, you're going to get yourself in trouble saying that because there probably is some.
A trace.
Yeah. But they're not what you would call healthy.
Okay.
I don't think they're organic.
They're not natural at all. They right. don't look natural. They don't taste natural. They don't feel natural. They're not natural.
But they're pretty cool deep fried. So and I feel bad I didn't take any pictures.
Actually, let me do that right now. Somebody actually sent me a picture over Xbox Live with their Vision camera of a
deep fried Twinkie?
Of a deep fried Twinkie.
I want to see if they turned out similar to mine.
So here it is. Goon360, thank you very much. He says, deep fried Twinkie. So I'm going to pull this up. E, you haven't seen this yet, have you? I was looking at this yesterday.
Actually, he sent this to me too, and I just haven't looked at it yet. But that's about what mine looked like.
Yours didn't look that good.
But, hey.
His has more batter. So check that out, deep fried Twinkies. We're going to – I think we have a new Thanksgiving tradition where we have to just talk about – cooking crazy food.
Now, this brings up something. So you and I have gotten a lot of messages about Twinkies, and I responded to some of them.
I did, too.
Like, there were messages and posts on your blog like, okay, well, what's the recipe for the batter? So I posted the link to the batter.
Yeah, I mean, it was really simple because I turned away, and you were done with that in, like, 2 minutes.
Yeah. But if you're going to send a question to me or you're going to send a question to Major about, you know, something in the podcast – if it's something that can be answered in 15 seconds with a search engine, we're probably not going to answer you.
Yeah. Use Google, use Live Search, whatever your search engine du jour is.
I mean, we both try to answer a fair amount of questions when we have time. And, you know, if it's something we can talk about and it's a good question, we will. But when you send us a question like, what's a Twinkie? Well, okay. You know, that should take you about 10 seconds to find out on your own.
Yeah.
We're not going to send you a link to, you know, the Wikipedia page for Twinkies, probably.
I think I did put that up, though. I don't remember. So that's our Twinkie update. So thank you for all the emails. And I also want to thank everybody who gave us the hot tip of the how to get over the bad fries, or not bad fries, but the limpy fries.
The ones that you don't like.
Yeah. Yes. I like my fries a little crispy.
Apparently, just like there's... you know, off-menu things like animal style, you can get your fries well done.
Well done. Is that what I have to say?
I think that's what it was.
So we'll do that. Are you going to CES?
I haven't booked tickets yet. I think I'm going.
So CES, Consumer Electronics Show, is about a month away, a little bit more than a month away, and we're I'll be there. Video Monkey and I are going to go be there. In fact, I want to bring that up right now. We talked about Inside Xbox. If you guys have some suggestions for what you want to see for Inside Xbox, send me an email, major@xbox.com, and let me know what you want to see.
There you go.
We're going to cover as much cool stuff as we can. You know, no, we're not going to give you a tour of the Xbox offices. Well, maybe we will. I don't know.
We could do it. We haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, we can do that. Come over and we'll work on a few things, but I want to get some feedback. But we'll be down at CES in Las Vegas this year going to I'm blanking out here because I'm wondering, should we do like a listener meetup one night at In-N-Out Burger?
That's not a bad idea.
Do they take American Express?
Not far from the street.
Do they take American Express?
I have no idea.
Because if they do, I'll bring my company American Express. Just buy everyone.
There's an easy way to look, which would be, you know, look at the website.
Yeah, that's true.
This is the after show.
This gets what you were just saying. You know, it would take 10 seconds at a web search to find out, and we're too lazy. Yeah, look at us.
Show's almost over. We're kind of leaning back with our feet up. It's not a bad idea, though. I suspect I'm going to wind up going just because I know so many people that are going, and most of them are going to work the show. But if I go, then we can, you know, hang out, have some nice dinners, go to some parties.
Yeah, the HD DVDs guys will be there. The Blu-ray guys will be there. Sony will be there. All the gadget people will be there. Well, it's gadget Nirvana.
All the, you know, Dell, HP, everybody like that. So, yeah, there's
the Microsoft booth is pretty big.
I don't know what we're going to have this year. Last year we had some cool stuff.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm sure.
So we had
I haven't seen
Halo 2 PC, Geometry Wars PC, which was the first time even I'd seen it.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, we'll see what they're going to come up with. I'm sure those guys have it all planned out. We've been so busy with the update, we haven't even had a chance to look at what's going on there.
Well, yeah. I haven't played with it nearly as much as I want to.
Have you looked at my Unlock the Xbox Doritos stuff?
No. Yeah, you know what I've been doing this week.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been helping friends move.
Not playing games.
So it's been, you know, work, leave work, go home and, you know, feed the dogs, and then turn right back around and go spend a couple hours packing boxes and carrying them.
Good.
I'm really glad that's done. Like carrying sofas and there were, oh my God. So.
Don't use any names.
Yeah, I'm not going to. So my friend had this big, like, you know, traditional footlocker kind of thing full of stuff. And it was one of the last things we had to move. And it was like out, like a lot of apartments, this apartment had the little storage unit on the balcony.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the last thing on the bottom of the storage unit in the balcony. It's like, okay, we got to move this thing. We almost couldn't get it out of the storage unit. It's like, why is this thing so heavy?
What was in there?
So we drag it inside. We open it up. It's just full of, you know, crap that had been kind of randomly thrown in there over time. And then we start poking through it. It's, oh, there's dumbbells.
Oh, I thought you were going to say cinder blocks.
No, but there was 40 pounds of dumbbells in there in addition to all the other crap. No wonder it was so heavy.
That'll do it.
Ugh.
That'll do it.
Yeah, I'm done being, you know, moving biatch.
So
can
pretty
I say that on here?
I'm pretty excited. Yes, you can. I'm pretty excited to go to RIT this week.
You are?
Yeah. I love going to upstate New York. You know I miss that area from where I'm from.
Yeah,
where
okay.
I went to school. I want to get some good wings.
It's just it's weird that you're not going to Syracuse. That you're going.
Yeah,
to
I know. I'm so I'm literally like one exit stop away from on I-90. It's just I got to go east to go to SU.
I mean, it's not quite as bad as
you know. Maybe when
Oregon
I rent the car,
State,
maybe I'll just go out there. And we'll see what the weather's like on I-90 because I-90 is the big highway, just like it is out here.
There's got to be some great food joint you want to hit.
Oh yeah.
So
Varsity Pizza, great pizza.
So see. Down in Eugene, Size Pizza.
Oh.
It's been there for, 20 years. It's the size of your office here.
Yeah.
But the pizza by the slice is
right.
To die for.
Yeah, they don't sell sliced pizza out here. I don't understand that.
They do in Eugene.
Yeah, I'm not going to Oregon. You know I'm not going down there.
Dude,
you and I have talked about this.
Yeah,
I'm not going down there.
You're lost.
Yeah. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up now. Thanks for downloading the show, and we're done, righty?
Are we?
Next week, maybe?